All right, welcome, welcome. We are back for another episode. I'm excited, per usual. What can I say? I take a deep breath because we are in the month of March, Endometriosis Awareness. We are going 24/7, 365. We're doing all the things with endo awareness, but I want to really still empower you with functional medicine, holistic medicine. I know a lot of the things that you're seeing are all the signs and symptoms, things that are going wrong. What can you do? Why is your doctor not giving you all the information? Why are we dealing with the misconceptions? But I also want to shine some light on some of us who have crossed over to the other side. We may have the diagnosis. We are healing ourselves naturally. We are in remission. We are getting wins. We are out here running businesses. We are lifing. Life is lifing. All is good. And we want to encourage you. So I've got my girl Adelina in the house, and we are talking all things, just all things. I can't even say all things endo, all things hormones. Honey, you're going to get a whole, just a whole word. Thank you so much, Adelina, for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, Dr. LJ.
So tell us a little bit about your background, because we love, love, love when people write books and do all these amazing things, but we're like, give us the nitty-gritty. Like, why do you care about us? Why are you in the community? What's going on?
Am a therapist, and I've been a therapist for many years. I started my career with the United Nations, and I was counseling people, working with survivors of domestic violence, working with survivors of domestic assault and sexual assault. And throughout this whole time, I personally was going through my own endometriosis and adenomyosis journey, recovering from sexual assault, recovering from different kinds of trauma. And I think that there is such a link between people who have gone through a lot in their lives and endometriosis, and we'll get to that later, I'm sure. But as I was working for the United Nations and creating new programs for survivors, I realized that I wanted to have a deeper impact in another way. And so as my health issues were ramping up, I moved back to New York, which is where I'm from, and started working for UN headquarters there and started to really work on my health. Unfortunately, things got much, much worse. And I ended up having to leave that job, which actually was a blessing in disguise. There was so much stress associated with that job. You're always posting about cortisol and our cortisol levels. I just could not keep my cortisol in check, which makes sense, right? It is a stressful job to work internationally and be moving all the time. And so what happened when I was able to really get quiet and I actually could not move for the better part of a year and a half, while I was laying on the couch and couldn't move, I was able to tap back into my roots, which were neuroscience and spirituality. I had a background in neuroscience. My grandmother is Navajo, and she taught me how to channel my spirit guides and channel other people's spirit guides, and how to work with herbal medicine for healing. And so I started working with those things. And as I really took a deep dive into those things, I started to get a little bit better. And so bit by bit, I would heal something mental, psychological, emotional, spiritual, and physical, kind of all at the same time. And after a few years, I created transformational healing, which is mainly what I use with clients who have endometriosis or any other kind of chronic pain thing going on. And it blends spirituality and neuroscience in such a way that people are able to come out of things differently than they thought. And that's my mission in this world, I feel.
I love it. I love the calm you bring as well. I'm like, oh, I could probably start talking slower. I love the cues that you're giving. It's like you're coaching them and coaching me at the same time because I'm always so high energy and I'm like, da, 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 like just out, out, out. And I'm like, she's like slowed the pace down. She's talking about healing. I may slow down my pace a tiny bit and then I'll get fired up and it'll turn back to like the LJ speed. But I love the calm and the peace in your voice.
Thank
Managing
you.
chronic illness, a lot of people have no idea what calm and peace feels like, sounds like. They're like, what is calm and peace? Is that even a thing? Is it something aside from the dictionary? So many questions. You said that you started to heal some things. Do you mind telling us a little bit about the diagnoses that you were dealing with?
Yes. So I was dealing with, and I'm still dealing with mold illness, which is also called chronic inflammatory response syndrome, multiple chemical sensitivity. I had a possible diagnosis of MS, which has since been ruled out. I had a possible diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis, which has also been ruled out, parasites, heavy metals. And then on the mental health side, because I am a therapist, on the mental health side was chronic PTSD flare-ups, complex PTSD. I was screaming in my sleep every single night. I could not get on the subway at a certain point in time. I am from New York. The subway is second nature to me. Bring a book, it's all good. But I couldn't get on it. I was so anxious on the subway that I couldn't get on it. So I was walking 2 hours a day to UN headquarters and then walking all the way back out to Brooklyn. And I also had a big time diagnosis of OCD, which I have been managing. Yeah, laundry list.
That's a long list. And I also heard endometriosis and adenomyosis, correct?
Yes,
So
yes. And
that's
I
a
always say
lot.
it incorrectly. So thank you. Adenomyosis. Got
Yes, that's a lot going on.
it.
So sounds like we maybe turned our pain into our passion, right? We had
Yes.
some pain, we had some things going on. Now we're leaning into our passion. Now you dropped
Yes.
a big money word, neuroscience, for someone that's
Yes.
listening and they're like, what the heck is that? It's obviously amazing because they're like, she's saying it helped her heal, but what actually is it?
So neuroscience is just basically the science of your brain and how your brain functions. And so when we're talking about things like you talk about on your page so much, cortisol, when your cortisol spikes, you have this whole host of other things that happen. Neuroscientists dig into that. So a lot of my background was digging into the science behind the feel-good brain chemicals, which are dopamine and serotonin, digging into the fight or flight type chemicals, and trying to figure out what causes those things to interact, what causes those things to spike up or slow down, and kind of the bigger picture of why is it that some people need antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications and why some people don't.
And that's a big one because I know a lot of the times we, have these symptoms, some of this anxiety and depression and whatever, is legit just something coming from, something external. Then we have to think of the internal fire. And so as we're in endometriosis month, I do want to just define it really, really quick because some people are like, Supacala, what are you talking about? They're like, endo, I don't even know what it is. So endometriosis, endo for short, before I define what it is, please know that it is an internal fire burning 24/7. It could be a baby flicker. It could be a huge bonfire. It is your daily actions, where you're at in your inflammatory response, what's going on in your world, stressors, et cetera, whether or not you pooped for the day, all of those things kind of add together and impact this little fire that can be super tiny or huge. So when we're talking about endometriosis, I want you to kind of take this definition and allow me to stack it. Endometriosis is chronic inflammation throughout your entire body. So, entire body. It is not a period problem. You're not a weak woman. You don't have a bad set of genes, a bad uterus, anything but that. Endometriosis is chronic systemic inflammation through your entire body. It is uterine-like. Yes, I said that. Uterine-like tissue found outside of the uterus. That means anything outside of the uterus is fair game. I've had four sinus surgeries. I've had endometriosis removed from my sinus cavities 3 times. So just think about it. Sinuses up here, womb cavity down here. That's the math is not mathing, right? It is definitely not period blood. So once we know that it's uterine-like tissue, chronic systemic inflammation, those endometriosis lesions bring their own progesterone and their own estrogen to the table. They're bringing in their own hormones. You've got autoimmune-like factors. And then to make it even the more exciting, it looks different in every single person. With those hormonal factors, for some, it may exacerbate your period, painful sex, murder scene periods, all of these womb wellness issues. Others, I kind of even forget to talk about it, silent endo, zero pain and suffering. They're like, I didn't even know there was an issue. Hop on the fertility journey. They're doing the laparoscopic procedure because things aren't working. And then they're like, oh my goodness, your organs are fused together. You've got stage 4 endometriosis. So all that to say, you could line 10 people up, 10 diagnoses of endometriosis. We're all going to have different timelines. And when we got diagnosed, we're all going to have different symptoms. even if we all had the same physician, we still would be in a different boat because it looks so different. So taking all of that wrapping together, when you use words like anxiety, depression, OCD, it's like, yeah, there's going to be some anxiety with the body you can't rely on. I mean, I don't know about you, but I remember living by a calendar, trying to map out my period and like, you know, they're like, oh, you're traveling this week. And I'm like, oh, my calendar says I'm not traveling. This is what I'm not going to do. Right. Like yeah. I just gave myself chills. Like I would love to go to that conference, but if my period hits this week, I can't leave. If it shows up early, you know, depending on how bad it is, I can maybe like my whole world revolved around 2 weeks where I was functioning. Then there was week number three where I had to take in a ton of herbs. I didn't know which ones, right? So I'm sprinkling everything I can on it, just kind of sprinkling everything, right? Then week four, I'm down for the count. Don't ask me to come into the office. Please don't ask me to do anything in front of people because I'm probably bleeding like crazy. I'm cramping. I'm in pain. That's if I can get off the bathroom floor. So all of those physical symptoms, which we spend so much time thinking about, let's start talking about all of that and how it ties to trauma. Like it's traumatic having a body you can't rely on. It's traumatic being in relationships and people choosing to walk away from you because you're high maintenance, you're a problem, or worst case scenario, you're a hypochondriac because they don't understand what's going on, right? You look normal, quote unquote, right? If you're not doubled over in pain, it's not a big enough thing. So right. Let's talk about what does that physical part look like when it starts to tie into that mental health? Because a lot of times we don't focus on that.
I know. So the reason that I feel called to work with people who have endo and people who have traumatic past is because of this. Because when you have enough what we call ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, research has found that chronic illness often follows right after that. So I don't just work with people who have endo or adenomyosis. I work with anyone who has had trauma in their past and now finds it really deeply affecting their lives. And the reason for this is because our biology actually sets us up for this kind of perfect storm after a major trauma. So after a major trauma, what happens is that your body is trying to protect you from something new. It realizes it went through something. It realizes you now have depression or anxiety or whatever is coming after this. And it's trying to avoid that ever happening again. So like you talk about on your Instagram all the time, your cortisol shoots up. It puts you into almost a nonstop fight or flight state. And when that happens, your serotonin production ramps up really, really quickly for a few hours and then completely dies off. And this happens a few times throughout the day. So you may have short bursts of energy, short bursts where you can really get something done. And then you just feel like you need a nap. If the chronic pain then starts coming into all of this, on top of the fact that you have energy in short bursts and then nothing at all, you also are dealing with chronic pain. And oftentimes that chronic pain will end up hitting you during that cycle when you have enough dopamine and serotonin in your system to actually get something done. And so that's why you want to end up laying down on the couch all day. It's not just the pain. It's not just the trauma. Your brain chemicals are actually setting you up for that. And so, of course, we can rely on medications, and I'm not anti-medication. If there's something that is really indicated, go for it. But we also have to use the brain's natural chemicals to try to recover from this, which is what I do in my practice. So I use brain retraining in order to physically change those levels of serotonin and dopamine in people with chronic pain so that they experience less painful time. And it also helps to regulate the serotonin and dopamine in their system. And so you can do some of this on your own. A lot of it really needs to be guided. But one simple takeaway that listeners could try today is when you are in a major pain moment, and we've all had those, we all know what those feel like. If you can stop whatever you're doing, or even if you're at work and you feel like you can't stop what you're doing, go into the bathroom and try to bring up a really positive memory, one of the happiest times in your life. And watch that memory, feel that memory, try to bring all five senses in at once. Bring in the sights around you, sounds around you, maybe you even have taste in your mouth that you can recall. Your brain actually doesn't know the difference between whether this is really happening or whether it's a memory. So hold on to that memory and see each individual little detail. You can set a timer on your phone for 5 minutes and then go back to your day and see if your pain has decreased. That's just one of the strategies that I use. There are many that I use in each session.
Okay, that one was pretty powerful. So I'm going to ask some questions about the one. What if someone doesn't have 5 minutes? What if you only have 3 minutes? What if you struggle? What if the pain is so intense? You're doubled over. I'm thinking of me, like sometimes I'm like, I was like in a public bathroom on the bathroom floor, right? And I'm a germaphobe then. So I was like, oh my God, I'm laying in these germs. I'm thinking about that. I'm in pain. And then I'm trying to grasp this, that memory. What if I don't have the 5 minutes? Question number two, what if the pain has pulled me so far down? What if I'm having a challenging time kind of grabbing that positive memory? What would you suggest at that time?
So one of the first things that I teach people that I work with one-on-one is different types of breath work. Let's do one together just to show an example. And I know, oh, breath work, it's not going to do anything. I understand. I used to feel that way as well. I used to laugh in the face of people who thought breath work was great. But there are certain ones that will help you get out of that pain spiral, at least enough to be able to get you to your very best memory. This is also a good one that if you're in a meeting, let's say, and you genuinely cannot leave and you genuinely cannot close your eyes and bring up a really great memory, you can try this. So we're going to inhale together for 4 counts and exhale for 2 counts. So let's just try it together. Inhaling 1, 2, 3, 4, exhale 1, 2, inhaling 1, 2, 3, 4, exhaling 1, 2, inhaling 1, 2, 3, 4, exhaling 1, 2, inhaling 1, 2, 3, 4, and exhaling for 8 now. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And you can do that in a cycle, like do maybe 4 rounds of that and see if that changes your pain at all. What I also have noticed in my own adenomyosis and endometriosis is that sometimes the pain is coming from me squeezing my pelvic floor in like a tense moment, like I have anxiety, I'm freaking out. So I don't even do it consciously. It just happens. My pelvic floor starts to tense and tighten, and that causes the pain to be so much worse. Fun fact, it also causes incontinence sometimes. So if I can stop for long enough to do that breath cycle, inhale for 4, exhale for 2, do that 3 times, and then inhale for 4, exhale for 8, keep repeating that cycle and see if it makes any sort of difference at all for you. And this is kind of why I recommend that people book sessions with me, because I have many of those tips and tools and we can try them all out and see what works best for you. But ultimately, what works best is really resolving whatever traumas brought you to this place. What are the traumas involved in your life that have brought on such intense chronic pain? Yes, we have to do our lemon water. We have to do our sauna. We have to do our castor oil packs, all of those great things that Dr. LJ teaches us. But is there another emotional root going on there that we're ignoring?
I love that. I have to throw in one of my personal stories. So recently I was having some GI issues and it's been part of the, you know, endometriosis journey. Like I said, endo is in total remission for me, zero pain, but I have to really work on decreasing the inflammation. Every morning I wake up, I'm like, are we at a tiny little flicker or honey, do you have a bonfire? And then based upon where my little fire levels are, I know what to do. But when it comes to the trauma work, I love what you were saying, more of the root cause. Yes, I've been dealing with chronic constipation, you know, yes, the mycotoxins, the mold, the explant, yanking out the breast implants. I am 2 years, like 2 years and a month post-op. And I'm like, at 25 months, I'm feeling amazing. But everything's still perfect, right? You can't have toxin buckets or toxic boobs literally for 8 years and think you're going to miraculously heal over 8 months. Right. If that did happen for you, please send me an email because I would love to have you on my podcast because I'm like, baby, I'm still over here in the healing, but I'm loving every bit of it. Legit, I'm aging backwards. If I look at a photo from 2 years ago and today, I'm like, they're reversed. I look like totally two different people. But all that aside, I don't know why I had to throw that in, but I think it's important. I was having these gut issues. 4 colonoscopies and they couldn't get all the way through. And I'm telling you, I know how to colonoscopy prep. I'm 44 years old. The fact that I had 4, most people are like, oh, is your cancer better? They just assume it was, you know, and I'm like, no, just chasing diagnosis, et cetera. So 4th colonoscopy, the day before Thanksgiving, they're like, we just get stuck. The same spot they would always get stuck. So we know, and maybe you don't, but you know, your body keeps score. So I'm like, okay, digestive health, something's going on, you know, so I'm doing all the, you know, not the micro dosing. Oh my gosh. I'm thinking of a psilocybin podcast. I am not micro dosing. I'm still learning about psilocybin. That just like, clearly it's still like in my brain. And we're in that part of my cycle where everything is going in my brain and I'm just grasping all the right words. So yes, I won't even edit that out. I'll let you guys laugh about that. So I was trying to say, I was doing the magnesium. I'm doing the castor oil packs. Like I'm doing all the things. Mm-hmm. So after 4 colonoscopies and they're like, come back January 4th. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to change the game up. Now, once again, I like to walk the walk and talk the talk. I talk about body keeps score, body keeps score. Clearly my body is keeping score. Like I need to figure out. The only 2 things I changed between, you know, the day before Thanksgiving in 2023 and January 4th was 2 essential oils. I started using frankincense. I started using neroli. And I also say I brought the oils and the trauma work. I can't sit here and say the 2 oils made the difference in the world. They helped, but the trauma work worked as well. When I came back, finally, colonoscopy number 5, totally clear. They didn't get stuck at the ileocecal valve. And I was like, that's like a big win for me. Most people are like, I've never had a colonoscopy. I know they say, just drink the stuff. You're going to poop it all out. For me, I was pooping it all out, but I was so inflamed. But I say all that to say, long story short, the trauma piece was huge for me. And I've seen other healing wins in my health, not just my colonoscopy story, which I'm still super excited about because I was like, if I have to private pay for another one of these things and they can't get, it's nothing worse than like going to sleep and then waking you up and you're like, oh, you're all excited. And they're like, we just put you down for, and you're like, what? Mm. Like I was so defeated, right? You like feel discouraged. You're like, I'm not helping others. I can't even help myself. Like imposter syndrome, like all of these things come in. But the trauma work for me was huge. And so thinking of that breath work, some people are like, it can't be that easy. We're not saying that breath work is the end all be all, but let's be honest, if adding the breath work in and then booking a session, adding the breath work in and changing some foods, adding a tea, adding an essential oil, I'm sorry, but the breath work is like free 99. Like there's really no reason you can't try it. But I think when you hold on to the diagnosis of endometriosis has no cure, I will always suffer. That's the biggest roadblock I see, not just in Endo Awareness Month, but all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Take all that, put it to the side. And okay, you have the diagnosis of endometriosis. Yes, PTOSD, PTSD, you know, OCD, all of these things. But what about bringing some of these other things to get to some of these root causes? As much as you don't want to hear it sometimes, the endometriosis diagnosis and all these symptoms, they're not your root cause. As you're looking for root cause, realize that it is okay to do it on your own. It is also okay to get some support. So if you are looking for support, you're like, LJ, tell me more about this hormone health restoration program. Give me all the tea. Tell me what I need to do. Here's the information. This is a 12-week program that is not only going to empower, educate, and motivate you in all areas. Hormone health restoration is not just hyper-focusing on your hormones and your symptoms. It is looking at your gut health, making lifestyle changes, giving you some of the information that's going to be a lifetime investment so that you have this credible information so that you can empower yourself, so that you can tighten up your foundation. That foundational pillar is going to train and empower you about all things hormones. You're going to have accountability help. You're going to have health trackers. Honey, we're going to tighten it up. After that, you're going to get those weekly calls, 45 minutes of information poured into you once a week. You're going to get monthly check-ins with me, which are about an hour long, where we deep dive into what individually is going on with you. None of this cookie cutter. This is where we go deeper, deeper, and deeper to remove those root causes. I always say it, I'm going to say it again. Your diagnosis is not your root cause. This comes with functional testing, recommendations. We break down the functional testing because I love to empower you to really break down what's going on with your hormones, what's going on with your gut health, adding another brick, adding another layer to that foundation. Pillar, because we are partnering with you every single step of the way. None of that putting a message in the portal and hoping and praying to God that someone gets back to you in the next 21 days. We also have that community where you're connected with like-minded people, that female empowerment, that mindset, all of those things that make us who we are, all of those things that hold us accountable, that hold our feet to the fire so that we can have restoration, so that we can have health, so that we can have all of the things that we deserve. Letting go of that mindset of, I have a chronic illness. This is the age where my hormones fall apart. This is just where everything goes to hell. I'm not buying it, and I'm giving you the tools. So if I am talking to you and you're like, LJ, I got the toolkit out, honey. I am ready to put the tools in. I want you to click the link in the show notes and book that complimentary discovery call. And let's talk about what's going on with you and how this program can set you up for success for the rest of the year. Breathing is another thing I like to do. I love that you broke it down like that. Just breathing and stretching for a second lets your body know that you're safe. Mm-hmm. You're not running from a bear. You're mm-hmm. in a safe place. The building around you is not burning down. But if your body thinks it's running from a bear, then yeah, you're not going to be able to digest your food. You're not going to be able to do those other things. So I think that's huge, because I know some are thinking like, I don't have 5 minutes. They're like, mm-hmm. I'm in a board meeting, and she just gave you the tools for in the board meeting. I love it. So
where from a diplomat, you know, diplomats can't really leave what they're doing to go to the bathroom and have the great visualization. So I've got those kinds of tips as well.
Yeah. So I love that.
Noticing.
Yeah. So I love that tip that they can do right here, right now. So in the beginning, you had mentioned sexual assault and some other things. I don't know how comfortable or how much you'd like to share, but can you touch on what maybe even your personal experience, what you've seen in your practice of people that have been through that, and how sometimes avoiding that work is mm-hmm. kind of holding them back from some of those healing wounds?
I feel like this is so backed up by research. Anyone that we are talking to today on this podcast, you are more than welcome to Google this, the connection between sexual assaults and other inflammatory conditions, but it's very much linked. I personally went through sexual assaults precognitively, which means before you can really remember or know things. It came up later in life, as it does for so many people. And then I also was raped in my late 20s. And so I work with a lot of sexual survivors. I did when I worked with the United Nations, and I do now in my private practice. What often happens is, you know, we all live in society. There's a certain amount of blame the victim that happens here. It's much worse in different countries. I actually have to say it's not as bad in America as it is in many other countries, but it's terrible here as well. So what tends to happen is that all of that guilt, pain, and shame gets buried, and people feel unable to unearth it. Depending on where you're from or what your current financial situation is in life, you may not feel comfortable reporting it. More pain, shame, and guilt, right? And so as all of that gets buried, it starts to creep out in different ways. For example, one of my most wonderful first ever clients realized that her acne breakouts were about her sexual abuse. Once she started processing her sexual abuse, her skin completely cleared up. Another client ended up having really horrible pains around her period, far beyond PMS, just horrible pain before her period. And of course, we were in a country at the time that could not give her a laparoscopy to see if it was endo. But once she shared about her early childhood sexual abuse, she found her next period was easy and fine, and every period thereafter. And so a lot of times, as you were saying, Dr. LJ, the body keeps the score. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's this incredible book by Bessel van der Kolk, who is a trauma specialist. What we find is once people start sharing what happened to them or doing some trauma work using transformational healing, my modality, or I also offer EMDR sessions in my practice, they find that whatever their physical complaints are lessened. I'm not saying that finding the root trauma cause is the be-all end-all cure-all, but I am saying it's a big part of the puzzle. And once we can really sort through those things and heal from that trauma, it can end up in far less pain.
That's really big. And I know I have people that I work with right now that just the word itself stops them in their tracks, brings mm-hmm. them to tears. They relive the moment. I know for me personally, something happened to me when I was 3 years old and, you know, I did all the work, you know, I was like, I got this. I've moved on. I, you know, forgive and forget, you know, I had all the little sayings and the memes. We had that down pat. I had a child. My daughter turned 3 years old, gives me chills right now. I woke up that morning in a hot sweat. I could tell you who did it, what I was wearing, the wallpaper on the walls in the 70s, you know, the smooth. Some of you are like, what's wallpaper? Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it now. Now we called it a mold magnet, but back then it was very trendy. And I could rub it and it was textured. And I could tell you everything down to my corrective footwear that I wore by Buster Brown's because I had like these weird things going on with my feet. Like I could tell you everything. And at that moment, the person that was like, oh, I got this. I've moved on. I'm done with therapy. Baby, no, I was brought to my knees hardcore in fear in the middle of the night. It was literally like my daughter turned three. And literally at that moment, the very time I birthed my child, I woke up in panic, in fear, running downstairs to make sure that my daughter was okay. That was my slap in the face to let me know I hadn't gotten over it. Did some work, did some work, did some work. Had a son. What happened? He turned three. Now, it was interesting that it happened with my son because as a mother, there's that fear of someone violating your daughter.
Right.
Somewhat same experience, but it was more of an awakening in the middle of the night. Child turns three. I was more alert and awake. I didn't feel that fear and that trauma, but it was still like, you got some work to do, right? Now I only have two children, so I can't tell you like child three, child four, but child number one and number two, number one, huge slap in the face. Like work still needs to happen. Now, you know, I was like, okay, what happens at 13, 23, you know, there are times where it kind of maybe comes back up more as a remembrance, but it don't, I don't have that same trauma response, the fear of where, let me call them, let me make sure. But I will never forget waking up in a cold sweat. And I was like, the other thing, because I want you to start talking about trauma and hormones, everything that happens in our heart as a female, I tell people, if you don't clear it up, that broken heart, that bonus that you didn't receive, that boyfriend that cheated on you, those hateful things that happened, if you hold it in your heart and you do not release it and properly process it, it drops down to your second heart, which is your womb, which is what you were just saying, the painful periods. So let's start tying this trauma in to some of these things that are going on with the hormones. Like what's the connection there?
So we have all kinds of research and studies that show us that when a person is traumatized, the first thing that happens is their cortisol shoots way up. So we've got the stress hormone that contributes to inflammation going at all times. Then we also have the epinephrine spike, which allows you to run from a predator, right? Because we are still cavemen in our brains, cavewomen in our brains. They haven't necessarily developed to what our society is today. And so even if it's something like an argument with your spouse or a thing with your boss, whatever may happen, it can stimulate those same epinephrine receptors and that same cortisol response in your brain so that you start to run in your mind is what I call it. So you may not actually be physically running away from a bear, but your mind thinks you're running away from a bear. Then what happens is your happy hormones drop out, serotonin and dopamine drop out. You start to feel incredibly miserable. And then you live off of those spikes in epinephrine that come up every now and then when you are ready to run from the bear again. And so when you're in that cycle for so long, it creates this sort of tension in your body. It creates more inflammation in your body. And what I've found is that when we measure the C-reactive protein, which is a really great indicator of inflammation in the body, when we measure the C-reactive protein in people who have gone through something traumatic in the last 0 to 3 months, it is always much higher than it was before then. Now, of course, this is a challenging sample size to work with because you have to assume that someone is going to go through trauma early on. But it's a pretty great study because it shows us that just the mere experience of going through a trauma raises up that C-reactive protein, which means your inflammation is a burning fire rather than just that little spark that you were talking about, Dr. LJ. And so in order for us to calm that burning fire back down to a little spark, or perhaps to even nothing at all, we have to deal with those brain chemicals. And oftentimes what helps us the most to deal with those brain chemicals is to hit the trauma straight on. So I know a lot of therapists will kind of do a lot of talk therapy, talk through early childhood experiences that may or may not be triggering for that person anymore. But I personally don't practice that way. I don't do a whole lot of talk therapy because I don't think that it's action-oriented enough. I think one of the best things that we can do is go to what is triggering you right now. What is the traumatic memory that you have that you could call up and go into that cold sweat that you were just describing, Dr. LJ? If there's something in your mind already when I say those words, that's the first thing to work on. That's the first trauma to work on with a trauma specialist, so that, and ideally me, so that you can come out of that inflammatory response.
I have a strong mental health background as well. And like you said, it's the talking and the talking. And I think it's like the talking is great, but we're ready for the walking. Right?
Yes.
Some of us legit have not been able to walk and talk and function and go to work. And so this is why I always tell people when they work with me, like, yes, I like to have fun and all that, but I like to do the unsexy, because the unsexy, as I call it, that's what's really going to get you the wins, get you where you need to be, not just like, oh, hey, you know, drink some ginger. Oh, get a turmeric shot. I think those things can be super helpful. But if you're holding a bunch of unforgiveness in your body, a lot of resentment, you know, maybe you're in a toxic relationship right now with a narcissistic spouse, there's not enough ginger and turmeric in the world. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to need all kinds of it. And even then, I don't know that it's really going to help as much because of that root cause is not being addressed. And so I'm going to throw this out here and say it. Some of you have a root cause that's going to be more mental health based versus physical health. And I think you would like to take that further, because like I said, it's real easy to be like, I got a headache. I got a sinus infection. I need to lose weight. Oh, I think I'm estrogen dominant. Let me go get a bunch of shredded carrots. It's real easy to do that. Now, is it as easy to book a session and be like, hey, this is what happened to me. I need to be free. That's probably not as fun as the shredded carrots, I'm guessing.
Well, I try to make it as fun as possible. I will say that after transformational healing sessions, people do hear from their spirit guides, and that comes at the very end of the session. So they do usually leave feeling great. That middle part, you know, it's a little challenging, but we all have to do it in order to get to a more healed place. I think that if your main root cause is mental health, or even if you think it's not, if you do have a traumatic event that comes up when I start talking about those trauma symptoms, it's really important to treat that, because we don't, you know, I wish we had like a full body scanner that we could all just do at home and see exactly what the problem is. But we don't. All we have are labs and tests, and those are really helpful and we need those. But like from a mental health standpoint, we don't so much have that yet. We do have SPECT scans, which are very promising, but we'll get there. And so if you're feeling as though there is some sort of emotional or psychological root cause, it's really important to work on that as well, so that you can heal on all levels. Also, not for nothing, but hearing from your spirit guides is a really powerful experience. For those of you that are not interested in spirituality at all, I totally get it. I spent 35 years of my life there. I was raised in what I would deem a cult experience. And so I very much shied away from spirituality until I had this major meltdown. And finding my own form of spirituality that was not about any particular faith or denomination really helped me. And so when we open up to our spirit guides, even if we're not into it in the very beginning, they do always have something very helpful to say. And to me anyway, they have a wisdom that I just don't possess. So people usually feel pretty great after hearing from their spirit guides too.
So tell us more about the spirit guides, because you mentioned that comes in towards the end of the session. So I'm sure there's a rhyme and a reason. Kind of break that down, because I'm sure some are thinking right now, Hurry up and get to how we can contact her. Stay tuned. We're going to give you all the details. Let's kind of walk through what the spirit guides look like showing up at the end, and then walk us through, like, what does a session look like? Because I know I'm not the only one sitting here thinking, I probably benefit from a session or two. Like, what's wrong with more healing? I'm okay with this. Yes. Yeah.
So the spirit guides usually come in at the end of the session because they want to make sure that you end on that note of hearing from them. And they often have things to say about whatever healing has just transpired as well. What a typical session for me will look like is, for those who are open to it, I use transformational healing, this modality with neuroscience and spirituality. So the first thing that we do is you tell me what has brought you here. We work on the first thing that comes up. So oftentimes people will come with like a laundry list of these things they want to do. And I say, okay, hang on. We're doing just one for today's session. Let's start there. What is the one that's most impacting your life right now? And they will tell me the story, but I will ask them to only tell me the story once, because we now have research and data that points to the fact that if you tell the same traumatic story over and over again, you are actually reinforcing those neural pathways in your brain. So you're making the trauma worse by telling the story over and over again.
Oh, hold it. We got to pause right there.
Yeah, I know.
Say that one again. I need you to say it a little louder for the people in the very back.
Yes. We now have research and data that proves that when you tell the story of the same trauma over and over again, it deepens those neural pathways. So for example, you got into a car accident 5 years ago. You were left with one leg not working for a couple of years. Every time you tell the story of that car accident, you are deepening the trauma felt by your brain, which then of course controls your body. So you're deepening the trauma felt by your body. And so for those of us who are in chronic pain, who have to explain our chronic conditions all the time, this is a game changer. Don't explain it. I have health issues. Moving on. You know, you can give a diagnosis if you want to or don't, but you don't need to retrot out that whole story of how it started for you, how it developed, what's made it worse, and all of these things. It's always great to talk about the things that have made it better. That's deepening the neural pathways that you're healing. But we don't want to say all of the stories over and over again, because it just deepens that neural pathway for trauma. Yeah.
I mean, we could mic drop there, but we're going to keep going. So just real talk. So sharing your story.
They can share it and they don't have to if they don't want to. It makes no difference to me at all.
But repeating the same story, the same trauma over and over and over again, calling one friend and telling her this situation, calling your next homegirl and telling the situation, jumping in the text thread of all your friends and retelling it. What you're telling me is you're just digging deeper and deeper and deeper. So could we say that someone that's been telling the same trauma 15, 20 years, it's going to take a little more work to bring you up to baseline? Or is it the person that's lived it in 20 years and the person that's lived in it 2 years, same amount of work to start feeling some of those healing wounds?
It really honestly depends on how much they've internalized the story. And so I will sometimes find people who have told the story 20 times and it hasn't really sunk in with them. And that's more about dissociation than anything else. And we have different techniques we can use, but it really depends on the person. So bottom line for everyone listening is, once you have a trauma, of course, you're going to need to talk it out with someone. Call your mother, call your best friend, whatever you need to do. But then you need to book a session with a trauma specialist and start working on it as soon as humanly possible, because the quicker we can prevent those neural pathways, those neural grooves from deepening, the more quickly you will heal. So what I've found is, like, for example, I had a client who had a really terrible breakup. I'm saying breakup on a post-it would be kinder than this guy. So she came to me 2 days after the breakup. The only person she'd told so far was her best friend. And we were able to allow all of that to release in just two sessions. She thought she was going to be grieving that guy for years. It only took us two sessions because she hadn't deepened those neural grooves yet.
How many sessions would someone typically, I know everyone's individualized, but is this kind of like a chiropractor? I come in and I need one and suddenly the magic The magic answer is 20 sessions. Like it's true. You know, when you go to the chiropractor and you're like, my back is out. And they're like, well, actually, you need to come twice a week for the next 6 months. And you're like, oh, that's weird. Cause I just fell when I was skiing, but now it seems like I need to come, you know, they've sold you into a 20 package. So when you come into a session, you've walked us through what the session looks like. And then is that when you assess like, hey, LJ, I think you would benefit from X amount of sessions. Or do I tell you when I feel like more is coming up? Like, how does that work?
So we hadn't made it through a whole session yet. Let me finish that first. Sorry.
Oh, ma'am. I was like, why am bam? Thank you, ma'am. I'm healed. Let's go, baby.
So after you either tell
reverse,
me the story.
Reverse.
Yes, reverse for 1 second. Either you tell me the story or you don't. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Then we work through it in terms of neuroscience brain retraining. So I will give you a series of exercises, a series of things to do in order to almost write over the memory. So you're creating a new memory. And again, because our brain doesn't know the difference between what we're imagining and what we're really seeing, this works very effectively. So you will rewrite over that old memory with something that is loving and empowering. And then the guides will come in and give you some tones. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Porges' polyvagal theory, but basically we all have this fifth cranial nerve, our polyvagal nerve towards the back of our heads. And when we tone it by using our own voices, it creates more healing within our physical body. And so we do some polyvagal toning together, and then the spirit guides come in and give you a message at the very end. So some people see me for one session, and at the end of the session, they're like, I am perfect. I'm totally done. I feel great. I don't need anything else. Some people come and we have to work a trauma from a few different angles before they feel better. And then some people come again with the laundry list at the very beginning. They're like, okay, I want to do this one first, this one, this one, this one. It is so personally dependent, but I don't have 20 session packages. Because what I found over time was when I was offering packages, some people would buy a 10 pack package and then they'd be absolutely fine and feeling wonderful after 6 sessions. And then I'd have to refund the money, which costs money on my end. So I don't really do packages unless people are coming to me saying, I really will need all of these. I'm absolutely positive. Please give me a package of 10 sessions or whatever. Then I'll do it. But I usually recommend that people just book on my website as needed. And that cuts out the need to call back and forth for times and dates. And it also allows people to be in charge of their own healing. A large part of being traumatized is having your agency taken away from you, feeling completely out of control. That is a huge part of trauma. So anything that I can do on my end to help people feel their own agency and their own control over their lives is beneficial.
I love that. Cause what I'm hearing you say is you're not trying to just sell people a bunch of stuff. You're like, I want to help you. And mm-hmm. It looks different for everyone. If mm-hmm. you need more, I'm here. You know where to find me. If you feel amazing after one session, go do your thing. If something else comes up, I will be here if you need that support.
Right.
So do you currently have openings? Are you virtual? Are you in person?
I am completely virtual at this point. I was doing in-person sessions in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I live in New Mexico. But as time has gone on, I've found that no one really wants to go into the office anymore. People would like to be at home, especially if they're going to be training their brains for something new. They want to be comfortable on their couch. And why not? What a beautiful way to do business. So I work purely virtually at this point. We can do all of this online. And for those who are not into neuroscience, for those who don't mind it taking longer to heal, I also offer EMDR sessions, which people even with no belief in spirit guides who want to stay away from the spirit guides portion really enjoy the EMDR therapy for trauma.
Do you have a few more minutes to kind of unpack EMDR for those who maybe are not familiar?
Sure. It's eye movement. Now, of course, I can't say the full acronym.
You can just hit us with the acronym and tell us what it is. Cause I know that some people are probably interested, or like you said, maybe they don't want to jump into that spiritual part, but yes, they're like, I want to heal. I want to get to the other side and tap
absolutely
into joy.
Yeah. And I think that's fair enough, right? Like we all have our own spiritual backgrounds. We all bring our own things to spirituality. But EMDR, for those who don't want to get involved with the spirit guides, EMDR is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy. And it was created back in the 80s by Dr. Shapiro, who was working with a lot of Vietnam vets and could not figure out how to help them let go of their trauma. And what she realized is that our eye movements back and forth, like this, actually change our brain chemistry. How this works, we don't entirely know. There has not been a whole lot of research on how or why that works, but there has been a whole lot of research to prove that EMDR is effective in trauma therapy. The only reason that I don't think EMDR is the most effective route is because if you are a person of spiritual bent, you do need to be healing spiritually as well. It is a part of your diagnosis, it is a part of your pain. But if you are a person who does not believe there is any sort of spirit out there, EMDR can be really effective. EMDR takes longer. It's usually 4 to 8 sessions per trauma, but it can also be a very effective route to allow your brain to sort of rewrite that story and come out on the other side.
Options for everyone, depending on where you're at in your journey. You said, like you said, if you've got that spiritual base and you're like, yes, I want to use that and strengthen, or if you're like, maybe there's some fear around it, or, like you said, you kind of went through an experience where you're like, not really feeling it, but you still want to heal. So where can people find you to learn more? What other things do you have going on at your practice?
So at my practice, I have a number of courses on my website. My website is adalinaeast.com, and I spell my name a little differently. It's adalinaeast.com. And that's my name on Instagram as well. People can find me on my podcast, Cosmic Leadership, which I was so blessed to have Dr. LJ as a guest on. That episode will be coming out soon. And all of my booking information is on my website. The course that I recommend people start with, if you want to take a course instead of book a session, is called Past Trauma Recovery. And that will deal with the mother bond, the father bond, and kind of some childhood stuff in general. But again, I really recommend that people start with a session just to kind of feel it out and see if it's something that will work with them before they invest 6 hours in a course.
I know. And then you said childhood trauma. And I was like, I was trying to wrap up, but I'm like, I promise, maybe this is like, I feel like now I'm on Instagram and I'm like, okay, a couple minutes I'm going to end. And I'm like, actually, no, I just thought of something else. Stick with me. My last IG live, I said that and I think I was there another 18 minutes. And I'm like, this time I'm really hanging up, guys. I'm really hanging up. Childhood trauma, how much of an impact do you think it has on someone managing chronic illness, chronic inflammation? Does it play a role? Does it not? I'd love to get your take on that.
It plays an immense role. This is not just my opinion. This is another thing that we have a ton of research on. When someone has more than six, what we call ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, they are set up for all kinds of an inflammatory disease, heart disease, all kinds of different things. And I have to say, in all honesty, I don't think I've ever seen a client that has less than six. And so I think not only do we learn more as the years go by, as there's more research, but we also feel more. I don't remember my mom talking about adverse childhood experiences. I know she had a challenging childhood, but I don't remember her really talking about it when I was a kid. And so I think as we learn and grow, and as we start to know more about how chronic illness starts and what things contribute to it, I think we talk about it more and therefore we feel more, for better or for worse. I think it has a huge impact on health.
I'm right there with you. I swear we're ending on this. I think it is very impactful. The childhood traumas may be a little pain, I guess, more painful to deal with, right? Because you got to dig deeper sometimes. But just knowing that there's freedom, that there's hope, and you deserve to be free on the other side. I mean, sometimes you got to remind yourself before you go into these therapy sessions, like, hey, this may be uncomfortable for an hour. Maybe it's a great hour, maybe 15 minutes of the hour, not so amazing, but think of the freedom that you will have when you're in the driver's seat, your physical health is on point. And your mental health. I'm sorry, that's a combo for unstoppable right there, right? You've got physical health, you've got the tools in the toolbox for physical health, tools for the spiritual health, mental health, and you bring that all together. And we talk about holistic health, holistic medicine. this is part of it. You know, it's just maybe not the part that we shine the light on as much, but we're definitely going to start leaning more as we do the rebrand on this podcast, because I think it's huge. And it's been, like I said, the biggest thing for me with the colonoscopy. For some people, they're just like, that's not a big deal. I'm like, you'll know when you're doing colonoscopies. It's a huge deal to be put to sleep and then they wake you up and they're like, oh, there's nothing we can do. And you're like, this is the fourth time. You know, you're like, is there, at that point, I was like, is there something there that needs to be cut out? Like, I'm like, why? Right. And they're just like, we just can't get past. It's just too inflamed. And that trauma work and those two essential oils, that's all I'm saying, the combo, right? We had a little trauma, a little toolbox together. And once again, January 4th, I was free, free, free AF. I think I go back in 6 months because we're just going to make sure it's all freed up. But yeah, it's a huge healing win, right? So I appreciate you taking the time. I know we've got some future projects coming up. So you guys make sure you follow us on social media. I'm going to kind of throw this out here. If you listen to this podcast and you learn something, you have a takeaway, take a little screenshot, tag both of us on IG. We'll both reshare it and tell us your biggest takeaway. Maybe you're just like, LJ, you talk too fast and I was able to keep up. I'll take it. I know I get to going. Every win is a win. If you learn something, if it, you know, even the more, if you learn something, shout us out. Or if you're listening to this and you're like, ah, my homegirl, a friend of mine, a family member, my mom, my cousin, someone, my father could benefit, send them this podcast and just share it. Sometimes there's things that you hear on a podcast that you're like, they'll listen to them before they listen to me, right? So just send them the podcast, get the information out there, and we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much, Adelina.
Thank you.